We're going to read from Mark chapter 5. Naomi's going to come up and do the first reading, and then I'll talk a wee bit, and then Hannah will come up if we have time and do the second reading, and then I'll have a wee talk about that as well. So up you come, Naomi. So Mark chapter 5, and Naomi will start at verse 21.
When Jesus had again crossed over the boat, by boat up to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she may be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in a crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you asked, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
I chose this passage to have a wee look at today because we've done it quite recently in the Bible class before we stopped for a wee winter break. And we've done a wee bit more than what I'm going to speak about today. But I felt that this lesson that we had for them was particularly good. So as we read the passage, we see in verses 25 and 26 that someone who's suffering from some sort of bleeding, and it's been going on for 12 years, and that she had used quite a lot of her money to try and solve the problem, because she knew that eventually, with the bleeding, how long she had been bleeding, that she would eventually die, but the doctors couldn't do anything for her. So we read that she decides to come and try and touch Jesus, because she believes that if she gets to touch Jesus, that she will be healed. So we read out in verse 28 that she did reach out and she touched Jesus. And it's different from what the disciples take from it when when the Lord says, "Who touched me?" So there is a whole crowd around Jesus, so lots of folk are touching him. But he says, "Who touched me?" Because he knew that someone had touched him, and it was different from the crowd that were already touching him and around him. And that got me thinking about how it is different for the woman to touch Jesus than it was for the people. See, we read quite often in the Gospels that wherever Jesus is, a crowd eventually comes. Today, maybe not necessarily a crowd come into a church to hear about Jesus, but certainly you can find that most folk at work will have some sort of connection to a church or something like that, maybe from their grandparents, and they probably admit to you that they don't go to church or whatever, but they hold back and they say, "Well, I don't really know what I think." They either tell you that they don't believe, or they believe something but they're not sure what it is, and they might be a bit curious. And for me, that's the crowd. The crowd in this passage that we've just read, they're curious. They want to see Jesus, this man that's going around healing sick people, casting out demons. Earlier in the passage, he casts out a demon called Legion, for they are many, and they go into the pigs, and that so much so it scares the people, because they think, wow, look at the power he has, please go away because you're scaring us. But then he goes somewhere else and a crowd gathers again. Wherever Jesus went, there was a crowd, there was a curiosity about him, but there wasn't necessarily a belief that he was anyone special. They maybe just thought there was something a bit supernatural about him. They had to see him, they wanted to see what it was all about. Whereas this woman, I don't think had curiosity. I think she had heard about Jesus and what he had done, and she maybe thought that he was different, that maybe he was from God, maybe a prophet. But she reached out in faith and touched him, which was different from everyone else around them, because there could have been sick people there in the crowd that were coming to see Jesus, and everyone's touching him. But why was she healed when she touched him? Because she reached out and touched in faith, knowing in her mind that if she could touch Jesus, that she would be healed. So my wee thought there was that faith is different from curiosity. You know, to know something or to want to know about something is different. She knew that if she had touched him, she would be made well. In verse 34, we read about how Jesus said that faith had made her well. It was different from the crowd, as I've already said. And just like I was saying there, you know, we find sometimes that people today want to know about what you do at church if you mention it. They're curious about it. They're not necessarily reaching out in a faith that you have something that's worth believing in, but they're more curious to know more about it. And I do believe that there are many people who have read the Bible and probably know it a lot better than maybe even you or I, that haven't had the faith of the woman. They've been curious, so they've studied it, but they haven't necessarily got it. But Jesus, he realises that someone's touched him differently from the crowd, and he wants to find out who. And there's a big crowd, and the woman knew instantly that she had been healed. So Jesus asked who touched him. The disciples were saying, what are you talking about? Everyone's touching. Everyone's near you. Everyone's around you. What kind of question is that? But the woman knew that she had to come forward. Now, she was very afraid. She was trembling, it says. And that's just like us, you know. As Christians, if you are a Christian, we have faith in the Lord Jesus, and he's made us well from sin. But if someone asks you who has faith in Jesus, if someone is curious enough to say, or someone wants to call you out, then it can make you nervous. Whether it's at work or at school, you know, standing up and, you know, testifying that yes, you have the faith in Jesus, you have faith in Jesus, it can be hard. And it was hard for this woman. It said, as I've already said, she had been trembling. But we also need to testify what Jesus has done for us. He may not have healed a sickness in us that we've had for 12 years like this woman, but he's changed our lives as Christians. But maybe we're not Christians. Maybe we're just curious. And maybe we need to reach out the same way the woman did, reach out in faith not just in curiosity, not just wanting to know a little bit more, but reaching out in faith and trusting in Jesus. Hannah's going to come up now, and she's going to read verses 35 to 43. We're going to catch up with Jairus, who we've read a wee bit about at the start of the passage. Thanks, Hannah.
Did you
say
35?
Yeah, okay. 35 to 43.
Okay. While Jesus was still speaking, some people from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they had just said, Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. They gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
So at the start of the passage that Naomi read, it's actually Jairus that we start with. And a couple of things we know about Jairus: he's an official at the temple, the synagogue. So he would have known Jesus because Jesus done many of his miracles there. But he probably didn't believe, as we get a kind of that skeptic's look of the Pharisees and the teachers and the scribes. They all thought Jesus was a bit... They were all trying to catch him out. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God. They didn't believe much about him, other than they didn't like him because people were listening to him. So I don't think previously he had believed. But then in this circumstance, when he's 12-year-old girl, and... in the other Gospels, it tells us, it's his only daughter, is sick almost to death. He decides to take a chance on Jesus, who had been healing sick, blind and lame people, and driving out demons. So he rushes to meet Jesus. Then we come to the woman again, who reached out in faith and touched Jesus, and Jesus stopped to speak to her. They were on the way to Jairus' house. Could you imagine believing so much that Jesus could maybe heal his daughter, and he's managed to convince him to come and help, and he's on the way, and then he stops to talk to someone? Then some of his officials come up and speak to him, and some of his servants come up and tell him, "Just leave it. You've run out of time. She's dead anyway." But Jesus turned around to Jairus and said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And I believe that Jairus, having previously probably not believed, did believe that Jesus could still do something. So they get to the house, and there's all sorts of carry on going on, because in New Testament times there were like professional mourners, people who would literally go round to sort of create the atmosphere of wailing and crying and doing all sorts of things to show how sad an occasion it was. And Jesus says something strange. He says, "The girl's not dead, she's only sleeping." And to that just sort of makes them laugh. It just shows you that they weren't really sad for the girl, because they start mocking Jesus, saying, "You're mad," and all these different things that they could have, insults that they're throwing at him. But I think when we look at the passage, we obviously see that Jesus dismisses people, and he brings the girl back from the dead. He says that she's sleeping, but she is dead. I think maybe he said that she's sleeping. It sort of protects the family, because obviously raising the dead could have been controversial. And I think that's why he's dismissed so many people. And he's also said to them, don't tell anyone about this. Because then, like the crowds that followed Jesus everywhere he went, they would maybe come to see the dead girl that was raised to life again. Obviously, word got out, and it's recorded here in the Gospels, but at that time, Jesus didn't want it to be spread. So, I think from both of these wee stories that we have here in the Gospel about what Jesus has done, it shows, you know, that we, man, women, are dead and dying apart from in Christ. Because we're both spiritually dead and physically dead, or dying because of sin. I'll read that wee point again. We are both spiritually dead and physically dying because of sin. It's not the way God intended it, but sin came into the world right back at the start with Adam and Eve. So spiritually, we are dead, and we're physically dying. We all know that we only have so long, some longer than others, some shorter than others. And that's because of sin. But